Good morning. A few more people than I'm used to normally, but that's all right. I won't be long this morning, but I just really wanted to share a bit about what God's been doing in my heart in recent days, and it just ties in with, I believe, what he's doing here as well. We're connected. I keep reminding the guys from here, we didn't went, we were sent. We didn't just leave. We went with purpose, and we're still connected. And I just want to carry in my heart what God's put in this place, because there's something very special here and in the heart of Pastor Bron and Lynn. So I wanted to say this morning, I'm a man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I feel the need to say that, because we actually watched The Greatest Showman last night for the second time, and there was a bearded woman on there, so I thought I better just make sure everyone knows I'm a man. I am a man. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm also a brother, a school chaplain and a pastor, but before all of that, I am a son. And, you know, I'm talking in natural terms. Before I became a man, I was a boy, obviously, okay? But before I became a husband and father, I was and I still am a son to my dad. But the same thing happens in the spiritual sense as well. Before I can become the man that God's called me to be, I need to find who my father is. And yes, that's God, but I need to find the man that God's connected me with on the earth. And I have. And he's right here. He's the man. So, you know, when you find that man that God's called you to connect with, it begins to shape everything in you. So you begin to become the man that you need to be. You begin to become the husband that you need to be, the father that you need to be, as you connect with the man that God's connected you with. You know, I like I said, I know that because I've found my man. So he's not perfect. He would be the first to admit it, but he's God's man that God's connected to me. He's my, what I would call, my spiritual father. And people get a bit funny when you say things like that, but that's what he is. A few less people agreeing now. Now I want to say this morning. You just can't trust any man. All right, because not every man is trustworthy, and they've got to qualify for us to connect with them. And I want to say, what qualifies them? They're trustworthy. Yeah. They serve something greater than themselves. Yeah. And their heart is after God's. Yeah. So, you know, Pastor Brian mentioned about David this morning. David was a worshiper, but it talks about David, for all his faults and failings, it says he's a man after God's own heart. And so that's a man you can trust. Yeah. So, Like it was said this morning, we pastor the church in Maui. You're so nice to call it Newbra. I sorted that out right at the start when we took over. I said, what's this Newbra business? It's Maui. You know, we say, if we don't like people thinking about Maui, we say we're Newbra. But it's really just Maui. That's what we are. We're Maui, all right? So don't be afraid to call us Maui. We're okay with it, all right? We're Maui. That's what we are. But we pastor a church in Maui. And so there's a sense of responsibility for that leadership role as a pastor of a church, which I'm learning more and more and more. And I wanna follow what God puts in my heart to lead the church well there. But you know what I'm finding more and more, and I want to touch on this morning, is that more and more as I go on the journey, I want to carry what's in my Father's heart. Because when I do that, It's a phenomenal thing that God's showing me. He's been showing me on the journey for a long time, but particularly the recent time. The more that I connect with what's in my Father's heart, the more things open up for me. When I just carry what's in my heart, sometimes I go well, sometimes I don't. But when I grab a hold of what's in my Father's heart, it's like doors are open, because I'm connecting with something greater than myself, because I know He's connecting with something greater than Himself. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll read one portion of Scripture in Judges chapter 7. And it's about Gideon. God called Gideon out. And there's a whole bunch of people came with him, and God whittled it down to 300 men. So Judges chapter 7, verse 12, it just says, "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitudes. So there's a lot of people in the enemy, right? There's a lot against them. Now go down to verse 19. So it says, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled, and it goes on. And I want to say this, the Midianites far outnumbered the people that were with Gideon and his men. And every man had a trumpet in his hand, and they had a torch, not like the torches we have with batteries, flaming torch, right? And it's a bit like today. We've all got a trumpet, and so many of us are blowing our own trumpet. And we're all across the world, but particularly in church, you know, we can see people are blowing their own trumpet. We're all blowing our own trumpet. And if we can learn to blow our trumpets together, right, to carry the same sound and the same frequency, then big things can happen. And this is what I believe why God connects you with men of God, and you begin, and you, God sets it in His Word, the Father and the Son model, because it works. So our torches burn brighter when we're connected. Not just connected with heaven, but also with each other. It also says every man stood in his place. You know, we're standing in our place in Maui. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's hard, but we're standing in our place. But when we stand in our place and we blow their trumpet with, not our own trumpet, but we blow the same trumpet with the same frequency and the same sound as what you're blowing here, things begin to shake. Things have shaken. Some things are still shaking. And more things are going to shake. So we all have a job to do if we stand in our place. Every person has a part to play. So if we can commit to standing our ground no matter the opposition, then big things can happen. We need to know who we represent. So we should all represent God. Goes without saying. If you're a Christian, if you've invited Jesus into your heart, you should represent Him. But God gives us someone on the ground to follow, to connect with. What do they cry out? They said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. There was an earthly man that they connected with, because they said, that's our man. And when they cried out, it sent the army into disarray. And when they blew the trumpets together, the army began to kill each other rather than them. I want to say, some people get a little bit funny when you start to say about connecting with, man, I connect with God. Good for you. You should connect with God. But we've got to connect with men and women on the ground. The nation of Israel was made up of 12 tribes, 12 families. You didn't need to know which family you belong to. For me, I belong to the City Builders family. They're not the only family out there. May not be the best looking family, but we're a good family. Good family to be a part of. So some people go, I belong to the family of God. Good for you, that's nice, but who are you following? Who are you accountable to? Who can tell you when you're wrong? Because if it's no one, then it sounds more like you're a lone ranger than you're part of a family. And I don't want to come anywhere near you. Don't know if this is a really good message to win friends and influence people, but well, I'm just returning the favour. Pastor Ryan came down towards the end of last year and brought the word, and half of our church left. So I just wanted to return the favour. I don't know where to go from there. No, it's good. It was really good, because when you've only got a few people and half of them leave, you start to get a bit worried. But I remember at the time praying, and God said, no, what looks like shrinking in the natural is preparation for growth in the spirit. And He said, ones and twos, couples and families. And you know what? Since that time, there's been you can talk to any of our guys. There's such a cleanness in the atmosphere in the house. There's a unity that's happened in amongst our guys as well, to taking us to a deeper level. And there's people being added to us that weren't there before, and we're having an impact. So it's exciting. So I know this. There's a lot of things that I don't know, but I do know this, that the scriptures say they blew their trumpets together, and the Midianite army started to turn on themselves. If we can learn to synchronize, to synchronize my trumpet with my Father's trumpet and carry the same frequency at the same time, then things will shift like never before. Things in my life will shift. Things that I fought with will shift, because I'm no longer fighting them on my own or focusing on them. I'm connecting with the man that God has put over my life. Things, I've said already that things have shifted already. Things are shifting now. And the more that we learn to do this right and do it well, every opposition to you growing and breaking through will begin to fall away. The answer, you know, we're wearing man up t-shirts. The problem with society today is it's a fatherless generation. We need to find our Father. And at first and foremost is God. But God always puts a man on the ground for you to connect with. God's man on the ground where we just read was Gideon. So when we connect with him, they connected with him, things started to change and break through in the nation. While we all blow our trumpets to our own sound, nothing much happens. But when we connect together, there's a sound that begins to shake the place. And there's already begun to be a shaking in the place. And I'll finish with this. There's, when you talk to pastors, it's a funny thing. I'm finding more and more. You talk to pastors because you can all represent God in your own way. But what I've started to find with some of the pastors in Gippsland, when I connect with them, it's something different is taking place, because I'm not going to represent myself. I represent what's in my Father's heart, and things that have been locked up, and men that have not moved an inch for decades because of the way that we all just blow our trumpets, start to shift. They start to move. They start to say, "Hey, I can trust that guy, because he doesn't blow his own trumpet. He's carrying what's in the heart of somebody else. He's serving something greater than himself." And there's a shift that's beginning to take place. So I submit to you that what God's doing in my heart is more and more in my heart is to capture what's in my Father's heart. Like I said, it's sort of a bit of a funny thing, because I know I have to be responsible as the man that God's put on the ground in Maui. But I know the more I connect with what's in my Father's heart, things begin to open up down there. So we're in this together. We're locked in together. We never got sent to be alone, our own little church down there. We were sent to be connected and lock in together. So we're partnering down there together, but we're partnering with you down there as well. Amen? Amen.
Brilliant. Thanks, Simon. Yeah, love you too. Awesome. It's really, really great. He's just finished or coming to finishing the fourth year, and I just believe that what's going to be happening in this season is there's going to be some real doorways for you just begin to open, even as you cross over into your fifth year, and you're going to start to step into those. Yeah, strategic places in the community. You've got a great church. There's some people in this group here that have sown in a whole lot over the years, and God's going to bring you harvest. I just think God, the people that moved on are good people, but unable to flow with you. So God removes the blockages so you can grow. Amen. Bless you. So great people, and really good to have Mum and Dad in the house this morning. Simon will be coming back to bring the word. I think we're going to try and get our pastors to Julian and Simon just to swap over once a term. So the Maui guys can hear what's happening here, and you can come and bring the word as well. I'm like Simon. He's his father's son. I don't think I want to say much this morning. I said I don't think I want to say much. But I might. But I do want to talk about the love of my life. Lynn's the love of my life, right? But I'll tell you where it is for me now. I love the church. I love the church. I was raised in church. Drove me mad, especially Christmas Day when we had to go to church and the presents were back home. Little kid, you know. Church to me was, didn't do it. But then I really found God. And when we came to Sale, we found our place. Yeah. And over the years, there's been a big shift in me because I think I love the idea of ministry, but my focus has changed over the years because my love has become the church. Yeah. Yeah. And, this church, I just absolutely love it. Is that strange, Auntie Mari? It's good, you reckon? She's pretty good with the words, so I just check things up with her to make sure it's right. But, you know, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't a married man. And the love of his life was the church. And he gave advice to husbands and wives on how to make relationships work. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And this is a key to success. I think the best advice I could give to you is to fall in love with your church. So we go to church and we come home, but their heart should always be with the church. To love it. Now, you know, there's some churches I just couldn't be part of it. I go there and it just doesn't tick my boxes. It just it's not me. Their ideas are different to mine. Doesn't make them wrong necessarily. Sometimes they might be darned wrong. Hopefully we are accurate on the basics. And, you know, this is where we have men around us, and I have a spiritual father myself who keeps me in check, because there are some fundamentals you can't drift away from. But do you know, I want to say it again, I love the church. And I want to lay the rest of my life down for what God wants to do through the church. This is really important because there's no other answer in the nation. You know, I don't see the answer can possibly come from anywhere, any institution, any people group, any movement, apart from the church. So the only way that God can heal a community is through the church. So we've got to love the church because it is, you know, you are the body of Christ. You know, he is the head. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the leader. He is the chief shepherd of the City Builders Church. Jesus, if you want to know who's running things. And my job and the job of the leaders that are with me is to make sure that we are connecting to the head. So my job this morning when I get up here is to make sure that you know, my responsibility is guess who? You. That's why some mornings I come in and look, God, where's he been? He looks like he's been for a hell of a week. I've just been for a week with you. My job is you. I want to say this morning. I'm getting a bit older and a bit, you know, more mellow. I used to work with Simon at Mission Australia once, you know, and we're having Julian was there and Lenny was there, you know, we took over the Mission Australia and made a mess of it really, but anyway. But we were all sitting there at our desk one day and I said to Simon, do you think I'm getting more mellow? And you could see him, he's just thinking, how should I answer this? And he said, no. Anyway, since then, that was 10 years ago, I've become more mellow. But church is the heart of God. You know, church is actually the body of Christ. So we need to look after it. This is not just somewhere you come. You know, this is the real deal. You are part of the body of Christ. The head is Jesus. My job, if I'm doing well, is to connect with the leaders that are around about us. You know, when Jacob came into, he went out towards Haran in Genesis chapter 28, and he came to a place which was just out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing there. You can read this in Genesis chapter 28, and there was nothing there, was absolutely nothing, but there Jacob began to have a supernatural encounter. And God began to reveal to him in seed form the future of the church. And one of the things that Jacob says is a word, it's the only time the word is used in the Bible. And it's not used before, it's not used after, and it's a word that's been hijacked by the world, and the word is awesome. Awesome. This is what Jacob, the word Jacob used when he saw the future of the church. He said, how awesome is this place? Do you reckon this place is awesome? Do you? I reckon it's awesome. I love it. I reckon this place is just great. It's awesome. Change your attitude. There's not a better church in Gippsland. There isn't. This place is awesome. Come on, say it with me. This place is awesome. City Builders New Britain, sorry, Mowi, is awesome. So if somebody has a bellyache, just from the side, it works really well. Just don't let them see it coming and laying on of hands. We should love our church. We should be able to say it's awesome. If you can't say your church is awesome, it just doesn't mean it's a bad church. It means you're in the wrong place. Because not everybody walks in the door reckons this place is it for them. But, you know, I look at Mark there. He's looking at me right now. The first morning he came in here, he said, this place is the game changer. Not a big crowd. Doesn't have to be a big crowd. It's just got to be you and me and a few good men, a few good women, a few people that will stand together and agree and agree to love Jesus, agree to bring ourselves under His authority, under the authority of His Word. We'll just take one another's arms, we'll begin to stand together and we will pray the will of God into our city. That's church. And that's awesome. That's awesome. Brilliant. You know, the world's hijack. You know, people go to the soccer and they say, that's awesome. You know, Melbourne Victory won. That's awesome. I reckon, who cares? I reckon church is awesome. City Builders is awesome. And we've got to start to say it about, you know, this is the game changer. It really is. So love your church. Love the leadership. Do you know why I say that? It's simple. I'm your leader. Love your leader. Love them, you know. One of the things that I reckon when I went down there last year, he talked about how I thought there's some kind of blockage. So I went there and I just pushed a few buttons to see where the blockage was. But do you know what? I found out who really loves their pastor. There they are. So give yourself a pat in the back. I mean it. You've got a good pastor. He's great. I met him when he was about 10. He was always in your face. Yeah, I did. I met him when he was 10. He grew up in our church, but he found Jesus in the church. He found Jesus when he was about 16. One worship night round there in the Dick Smith building, and God came down and met him. And you know, for him, because he met God there that way, there's no other place for him. Yep. It's pretty cool. So I love this. I love this place. I love the people in it. I'm not kidding. I'm crazy about you, and sometimes you drive me crazy. Drive me mad. Nuts. What the heck are they doing? It's simple. This thing's simple. What are they doing? Oh my God. What? Where did they get that idea? Why would they do that? Do you understand me, Pastor Rodney? His hair was jet black when I met him. Pastoring does this to you because it's simple. You get in the house, you become part of the house, you love the house, you give your life in the house. But there's all sorts of forces, all sorts of different ideas, all sorts of nutcases. I tell you, if you want to meet nuts, you'll find them in the house of God. Like my daughter says, it takes a lot of little nuts to make a jar of peanut butter. Oh man, it's simple. This is not complicated. Father, Son is not complicated. It is not complicated. It is the God design. Our Father in heaven sent his Son, Jesus. He sent him into the nation of Israel. But do you know God has got a master plan? What he began in Israel, he's going to do in every nation. And the sons of God are going to become manifest in every nation. In every nation, in every region. They are. You know, you're not just anybody. You are not just anybody. I tell you, old, young, good looking or not so good looking, you are somebody. You are somebody. You're a son. Amen. I know last week I listened to the message and I just thought it was great about coming out of slavery into sonship. Because you were called to that. You're called to be free. You're called to be free. You're called to be free from, you know, a negative past. You know, you're called to be free from your own ideas. Because your own ideas, I tell you, there's some people, God love you, in this building that have got some ideas that are so destructive. Do you know why the enemy is able to mess you up? Because you have destructive thoughts. You think wrong. But you let God get hold of you. This is why places like this are awesome. Because it changes the way you think. God's just worked me over in my thinking. You know, it's taken him a while. It's taken him probably 25 years of being a pastor, but God's worked me over in my thinking. He's totally turned my world around. And now I'm ready for the main game. 61. Why didn't he start earlier? Because sometimes, you know, you've got to face your own humanity before you can change. You know, the biggest problem we have is our humanity. And you know, thank God we're human. That's the way that God made us. But if we can change the way we think, our world can change. I met with some of our leaders last night, had a little chat to them, and I said during the evening, I said, I think I'm a very serious, intense and serious person. They all laughed. I'm still wondering why they did that. It bothered me all night. This place is awesome. You need to talk about it like that.
That's right.
What's that church like? Oh, it's okay. means you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. Yep.
The only churches I've ever been in since I became a Christian are awesome.
Yeah.
I was in the church in Albury, and I'll tell you what, it was awesome. I couldn't believe it. The first morning I walked into the church in Albury as a young Christian, there was a bloke by the name of Hopi on the door. I've never felt so welcomed, hugged, kissed in all my life. Swedish man. Then he led the songs and I just, oh wow. This guy was from that end to that end. And I tell you what, it wasn't hype. It was just the God on the inside of that man was so enthusiastic. This is normal Christianity. Some people are so themselves. That's your problem. Stop being yourself. Well, I'm just being myself. Get over yourself. Get over it. That's your biggest problem. You've got to get over you. Sometimes we think, I've got big problems. You are your biggest problem. You. It's not your wife. Stop that. It's not your husband. Stop it. It's you. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's in the Bible. Anyway, it's not in the notes. But this is an awesome place. I tell you, this is different here. This is a very unique church and you've got to get to know it. Don't just come to church because some people come to our church and been come for years and haven't got a clue what it's all about. Couldn't tell you what the mission is. Gee, it's silent. We've got a job to do. I want to tell you why I reckon church is just the best. Now, Rodney, he just is sitting there thinking, this is just not right what this guy's talking about. Oh, he's being respectful, but he knows, no, my church is the most awesome church.
The whole church is my church.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when you get older. I am exactly like that. It used to be my church. But now there's, you know, as you become more fatherly, and I am honouring a father in the faith, your heart extends. So wherever I go now, this fatherly thing takes over me. It's different and it's normal. And you know, it's expressed differently in different movements and denominations. I think what a bishop is really is a father to the church. Doesn't worry me what people call me most of the time. I love the church. Because when Jesus revealed the church in Matthew chapter 16, he revealed the church of the living God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this church. I want to tell you about this church. And this church here. It's the church of the living God.
Yeah.
Our God's alive.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a couple of reasons why I love church and I think church is awesome. And you've got to change your attitude and stop being familiar with the church. Because there's going to be no change in our nation until the church changes. And if the church is not awesome, it has got a very, very short while to get awesome. And it can't happen unless you change. So this message this morning is very much about you. There's a couple of reasons why I'm locked in on church. I don't see any other answer. I do not see another answer on the planet than other than what's coming out of churches like this. And I tell you what, this is not a big church, but I want to tell you about this church. This is a great church. Get rid of your identity complex. This is a great church. This one, I could not care how many people go to church. Doesn't make it great. We just heard from Gideon. He had to get rid of 21,500 people before he had 300 that he can use. So we never, you know, decide to grow to 22,000 and then get rid of them. We just, as soon as they come in the door, we go, nah. No, only joking, all right. Anyway, I did halve Simon's church, so that was very good. Let's talk about church, why I love church. People are going to meet God there. They're going to meet God. Our church, we got to work at it together. We got to build it together. Because if we're untidy and we don't know what church is, we're familiar with it. But if we are on task, if we are on assignment, if we have a revelation of what the church is, when people come in there, they are going to experience something in this place that is life-changing. It's awesome. Now, you're thinking, maybe, but I was watching your little boy up here. He was up here. He thought it was all. Did you see that? Yes. Did you see that, or were you just being so unawesome yourself? Little kids get it. Jesus said, become like a little kid. Not being childish, but having that heart of understanding. We're just entering in, just becoming part of it, you know, just flowing with it. There's a flow. You'll meet with God there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus asked Peter a direct question. And it was a loaded question. But who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? I love the answer. It was a loaded answer, but a loaded question, but I tell you the answer is loaded. You are the Christ. Is that loaded? That's loaded. I think that is so revelatory. But you could read that and think, what's that mean? You are the Christ. I'm talking about the God of this church. Like I'm a father in the house. But there is something way greater than that. And that is the God of the house. And here it says, you are the Christ. Do you know what? You've got to teach your kids this, that we are going to church to meet the God of the house. He is the Christ. Say that, the Christ. Out there in the world, people use Christ for all sorts of reasons. But to me, when I hear the word Christ, it strikes something on the inside. How about this? The Son. The Son. Do you like that? Is that a loaded answer? Who are you? Well, I tell you what, there's something different. We learned about it last week. There's something different about sons. You are a son. You're a son. You are the Christ. The Son. Not just anybody, the Son. Not a son. You're picking up the spirit on the inside of this loaded answer. Jesus gave a loaded question, but I tell you what, the answer's loaded with power. The Christ. The Son of the living God. Getting the message? The living God. The way people behave in church, you'd wonder whether God is living. It's sort of like you can drag yourself to church. go through the motions. Have an attitude. Stand with your hands in your pockets. With an attitude. You missed something. You missed something. You missed the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what you missed. People are going to church every Sunday, even paying good money into the church, and they miss the boat because it's not about that. It is about the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why I love the church. That's why some of you are not as passionate as me, because you don't know it the way I know it. I tell you, I'm on fire with this. I love this. It's the Christ, the one, the man. People are so confused out there. They don't know which way's up, which way's down. Was that God? Or was that God? The Bible says there'll be Christ everywhere. Which one do I follow? This Christ, that Christ? For Christ's sake, come back and follow the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm locked on. Do you know why nothing can separate me from my Father? Because I see Christ in him. Now, you may not see that. Doesn't matter. Just means he's not your Father. This is so awesome. This is why church is awesome. This is why you can't just clap hands like this man. Because we are serving the Christ, the Son of the living God. This guy's a son. You know, there are sons in the house. There's also people that long to be that. But there's something holding them, imprisoning them. And you know what it is? It's what the devil told you about you. It's what you believe about you. Do you know what? A lot of people believe things about me. And I think, oh, that's interesting. That's not what I thought. And, you know, when I was young and intimidated, I thought maybe they're right. And I would get distressed by what people thought. But now, one of the things you find out as you get more fatherly is you find out who you are. And when you find out who you are, you're unstoppable. This place is awesome because there are people in this house who know the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know why people don't get much done in the world and why the church sort of just maintains? Is because we don't believe this. Really. Who do you say is? Number two, why is a church awesome? I could do a big series on this. Not this afternoon, don't worry. They'll find their future there. They'll find their future there. Man, there's so many people out there, they just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. They're hopeless. They are hopeless. They're without hope in the world. I love places like this because you find your future here. Yeah. You know, when Jacob went out toward Haran, he had a glimpse in the night of his future. A glimpse. You got to start to get a glimpse. See, we see the church. The nice, you know, it's just a warehouse, but it's nice. It's comfortable. It's nice up there. The people have done a nice job. And the songs are nice. And the people are caring and welcoming. They are. I know them. Wouldn't listen to any other word if anyone told me any different. But when church is built right, and when your attitude is right, you will start to get a glimpse. Jacob out in Haran, he got a glimpse. He was out there. He had a sleep. He had a couple of rocks as a pillow. That's rough going. But God opened the heavens over him and gave him a glimpse. Do you know what? All you need is a glimpse of the future, and that is enough to take you there. If you will dedicate yourself to that vision. It works in every area of life. This is just a beautiful thing. I just discovered earlier this year or late last year that the first time that God really clearly spoke to me was about my wife. I'd been in the seminary studying for the priesthood. I don't know why on earth I ever did that. It was never going to work. I came out, I was just looking for God really. And I came out and I was really depressed. I lost my way. And I spoke to a Catholic priest and I said, I just don't see a future. And he said, there'll be a light in the dark somewhere. And he went, we'd been friends. But all of a sudden, this is literally what happened. I saw a spotlight going round in the dark and I saw her face. Two things happened. I went, she's cute. And of course, why didn't I see it? A glimpse. You know, if God gives you a glimpse, do you know what? There's a whole generation of young people out there that have never had a glimpse of their future. That's why they need to come home here. And we, as the sons and daughters of God in this place, need to be able to step up to the place so that we can all talk like this. And we can begin to give them a glimpse. There's a song, Just One Glimpse of His Glory. Just one glimpse, it's all you need. Whoa! Was that you, Jesus? It happened to me in Albury in that awesome church. I was so nailed down in that church because it seriously was an awesome church. But God began to call me out. Just a glimpse. Have you ever had a glimpse of the inside of heaven? Have you ever seen it? Up until then, it's just all business. But the minute God opens your eyes to what's on the other side, there's no turning back. One night in Albury, God did it. Lynn remembers the night where God turned my life upside down. I was saved. I was born again. I had prophetic insight. But that night, God opened the heavens for me and I saw right in. Just a glimpse. Do you know why church is so lifeless and dead? Because people haven't even had a glimpse. The appointed leadership have never had a glimpse. So they are serving what they think is right. But when the heavens open, you can only serve what you see.
Yes.
Paul on the road to Damascus got more than a glimpse.
Yes.
He had an experience where he was literally knocked into the third heavens.
Yes.
But God wants you to have a glimpse.
Yes.
Maybe this morning for the first time. Do you know what I believe in? One of the reasons I'm speaking this, I believe in this season ahead. God is going to call out select people and he's going to begin to open something up for them.
Yeah.
Supernaturally. He's going to do this for you.
Yeah.
I remember the night you met him. He's going to do it again. You'll find your future here.
Yeah.
My future's here.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop here.
Yeah.
The world is there for me. The world is there for me. The world is there for you.
Yeah.
But it starts here.
Yeah.
My future is in the house.
Yeah.
My future is connected with the house. My destiny is here.
Yeah.
10 years of age, I met him. There's very few relationships like this.
Yeah.
Only God can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, friends will come and go and people will come and go and it's all right, but there's something where your future, you know, so many people are worried about their future. Even as I look around the room, I see people that are anxious about the future. Why? If your future is connected to something that's connected to heaven, you're okay. I was a businessman, you know, and a prophetic man came through and I was doing well. And he said, God's going to cause you to take a right hand out of there and you're going to serve him with your life. And don't worry, because money will never be a problem. You'll be provided for. Remember that, Lynn? Some others would remember that. I laughed. I thought, oh, yeah. I had no idea. That prophetic word is over my life like you wouldn't believe. I have never got any more than $50 in the black above my budget. And I have some amazing records of my past income. And I think, how did this happen? How did this happen? That word was true. I want you to know you've got a future in this house. You've got a future. God will make you in this house. God will build you in this house. Don't just go to a church. Church is not your future. Unless there's something going on with you and Jesus there. They'll find their future there. You'll find the God of your fathers there. You'll find the God of your fathers. Not everybody's father's God impresses me. I like the God of my fathers. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. You got to find your father's God. You got to get connected to the God of this house. What do you think? Is that good? It'll turn you into somebody who's sort of like me. It's very dangerous. Do you know how I know you're connected to my God? It's easy. I know. Some are, some aren't. Just raising the bar a bit. You're going to need my God. Hey, good luck out there. You're going to need my God. Because my God ain't going to fail. Not the God I serve. He is not going to fail. He is not going to let his people be smashed from the earth. No, 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 no. Not my God. I'm not talking about the God of the church down the road. I don't know about their God. You got to get to know my God. Just because somebody's in a church doesn't mean they're serving my God. If it's my God, it's going to line right up with this. You've got to get to know my God. If you've never been to church this morning, I would say to the person right next to you, I think I need to get to know his God. You know, Jacob's independence had to be laid down. Independence means you have your own God. Got your own God, and it comes out in your speech and everything you say. I did this, I did that, I can do this, I can do that. I can even hear it in my own speech at times. But we've got to find the God of our fathers. Hey, in 2018, you better get to know this God. I reckon in 2005, you had a chance of survival. And you had a chance to bring up your kids right. But in these days, the people that are going to survive, and not only survive, but they're going to thrive, are the ones that know their God. Do you know why you are feeling like you have been knocked around? Because God hasn't lined you up on the inside yet. And he wants to do it. I tell you why he wants to do it, because he has got good things for you. This is great. You'll find the God of your fathers there. See, it was Abraham and it was Isaac and it was Jacob. But Jacob, as soon as he began to line up, God did a big thing with him. He became Israel.
Yeah.
Got to line our hearts up. Number five, you'll find your divine assignment there. Do you know what? We've got an assignment, City Builders. Church is not the assignment. Gathering the lost is actually not the assignment, although it's part of it. Here's the assignment, just in human words. You can go to Matthew chapter 28. And our corporate assignment is there. But here it is. Our job, all of us need to be reaching out, reconnecting, restoring. But we're builders.
Yeah.
We're here to build.
Yeah.
We're here to rebuild the nation.
Yeah.
One family at a time.
Yes.
One nation at a time. One young person yes. at a time.
Yeah.
It's our assignment.
Yeah.
Our assignment. There's a corporate element to the assignment.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We need to talk about that and make sure that we're on the same pathway. We're serving the same God.
Yeah.
We're serving the same assignment.
Yeah.
The assignment's just not church. The assignment is specific. Our assignment is to disciple the nations. Do you know what's wrong with the church in our nation? It's withdrawn from the assignment. And it's created its own assignment.
Yes, that's true.
And church has become the end. No, church is the beginning.
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 28, it says, go for, 28:18, Jesus came out and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations.
Yeah.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our job is to disciple the nation. You like that? See, if you're not on assignment, you'll wander. You'll be buffeted. You have a personal part in it. Better finish. This place is an awesome place because it's a doorway to the kingdom. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, what have I got to do, Nicodemus? John chapter 3. And Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's a doorway this morning for people to be born again, to start on their journey, to really cross over, to really leave their past, to find the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know what? You can be in church, but Christ is not in you. The Bible says, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're made to be a temple. And you are made to be filled with the glorious presence of God. Filled. Not just a little bit. Filled. Filled with God. How would you know if someone was filled with God? It's simple. How would you know if someone was full of themselves? How would you know if people are full of it? Ever met anyone like that? How would you know if someone's full of God? This is how God planned you to be. It's how He made you to be. Sometimes we can be full of fear, full of anger, full of aggression, full of selfishness. But God made us to be full of Him. Full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit. Filled. In Acts chapter 4, they prayed and they said, Father, they prayed a prayer, fill us again with boldness and courage, confirming your word with signs and wonders. The place got shaken. I tell you what, if you're full of God, you're going to shake some things. What's filling you? You know, if you're full of God, it comes out of your thinking, your eyes, your speech, your actions. God planned you to be full. Are you full this morning or are you a bit just low? Down there. Because God planned you to be full. What a good morning to be in church. Awesome. Wasn't that rough, was it? Someone asks you, how do you go this morning? So it gives a bit of a slap up the side of the ear hole this morning. what are you doing up there, you guys? Doing your own thing. I think God's all over you. Who wants to be filled with the glorious presence of God this morning? Who wants to come home? Who feels like, I just haven't been where I should be, I've been lost? Who's like that? Come on, just get found this morning. There's no condemnation here, there's only love. We're all in this together. Mate, sometimes people think if they do the wrong thing, I'll, you know, upend them or something like that. But tell you what, there's only love here.
That's right.
Only upend you if I've got to. No condemnation. Your future's here. Your future is in this word. Your future is in this house if you're called to it. Your future is in the City Builders Church in Moi if you're called to it. Wherever you come this morning, Lakes Entrance. Just found the Lord recently, I think, did you? Fantastic. Fantastic. You doing all right? Who wants to come home this morning and find God again? Think, I've been out of sorts, I've been wayward, I've been lost, I've been on the outside of where I should be. Just come. Come and stand out here and get reconnected. I'm going to pray a prayer, but then I want you to pray for one another. Do you know what I really believe? A city's coming home. A city's coming home. But guess what? You got to come home first. You got to come home first. Father, I pray this morning for each one of these out here, Lord God, for the grace just to come to where they should be, right back into your presence. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you. Father, I pray for the grace to move forward and the grace to find something new. In Jesus' name. I want to pray another thing now. I want to pray that you get filled on the inside. Do you know, one of the most important things, hey, you can't drive a car from here to Melbourne if it's on empty. Just thinking of my daughters there every time I hop in the car. They say, you take my car, Dad, you drive my car. I hop in and the light's on red. Meanwhile, they're driving my car that's on full. Praise God for dads. We need to be filled. We need to be filled with the great Holy Ghost. You're going to need him. Amen. So raise your hands and say, Father, fill me. Fill me, Lord God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Father, fill me with your thoughts. Fill me with the Christ. Fill me with the Son. Fill of the Son of the living God. Fill me with his great Holy Spirit. Lord God, let there be an overflowing into my life and my world. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just had a feeling some people might have got healed of some things then. Have a little check of your back, your shoulders, your knees. Something went crack. Hey, church is an awesome place. People should get healed in church. Of course, you can keep whatever you want if you. Amen. Good on you, mate. Amen. Well, folks, just take that to heart this morning and enter out into your mission field there. We're going to have some lunch now. which is great. And then what time's the workforce at the Cobb & Co? 2 o'clock. So if anyone wants to have a look at it, our visitors, we might take them down there to have a look a bit earlier. Alrighty, good on you guys. Lovely to have our Maui people here and all our visitors. Hey, if you want to just take a moment just to pray with the person next to you, I think it'd be a great way to finish. Amen.